Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So this morning, I want to speak to you about finding the treasure, and you'll see that on your church app. I was going to speak about something completely different, but on Wednesday, as I was walking my dog in the afternoon, this whole message came to me, and I know that the Lord gave me this message for us this morning. And who wouldn't want to get a rich and beautiful treasure? There are times when everything is so difficult, and so we dream of something better. And if finances are hard, we'd like to get that pot of gold. It doesn't matter what our struggle is, or we would like a quick fix, and that's the world that we live in. We would like everything to be better. But I have good news, and I'd like to share with you a treasure that is truly worth attaining. It is a treasure that's beyond compare. And let us turn to Matthew chapter 13, 44, and it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So can you imagine the joy in this man's heart to get the treasure in that field? The value of that treasure is so big that this man sells everything. He gives up all that he has to get the field where the treasure is, and now he has a legal right to that treasure. What would that treasure be like? And I always imagine a box that's filled with gold, just like you might see in an old pirate movie. This box would have to be massive for this man to sell everything to get it. With all the money from the treasure, he can now go back and buy everything that he sold. Or that's what I always think. But however, if the treasure in the field, what if it isn't money? There is a treasure that's worth giving up everything in your life for. This treasure doesn't compare with anything else. And this treasure is so valuable that if I had to be dirt poor for the rest of my life, I would like to acquire that treasure, or would acquire that treasure. This treasure does require us to give up everything. We surrender everything to gain so much more. This treasure is the kingdom of God. And believe me, it's absolutely worth attaining. God has a distinct purpose for you. And finding and fulfilling that purpose is the greatest treasure that you will ever find. It will make you the happiest. You'll be the most fulfilled. That purpose is all about your life with Jesus. You are unique. So the purpose is different than anyone else's. To find your purpose, you have to first give up everything. In this life, we mistakenly think that other things will satisfy us. That new car, or that job that we finally achieved, winning the championship. All of these temporary things satisfy for what seems like only moments, and then we often feel empty. Is this all that's there? Is this all there is for life? It's only God that can completely satisfy us. He created us, and there is a God-shaped vacuum in each of us that cries out, whether we realize it or not, it cries out for a strong relationship with Him. We've been challenged this summer by our pastor, by Barry, to return from the summer walking in the power of the Spirit. To walk in the power of the Spirit, we need this treasure that I'm talking about this morning. Luke chapter 4, 14 says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region." And this was after Jesus had been tempted and he had overcome the devil, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. So we this summer, if we haven't already, will want to return here in the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts need to be fully in line with this. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is our treasure? What treasure are we seeking? That's where our heart will be, and that's what will lead us through this life. all of our decisions will align with our heart's desire, whether we realize it or not. So it's important where your treasure is. Matthew 6, 19 to 20 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Many people think of this as money, and in some ways it's often used to describe how we should give to God and give generously. And all of that is true. It's absolutely true. However, it isn't just money. It has to do with a heart that is completely sold out to Him. And we're giving not just our money, but our very lives. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41 to 44 says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she put in out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" Again, there's money used in this illustration, yet I want to point out that this widow gave everything that she had. She gave her whole livelihood, just like the man who bought the field. Jesus is asking us to give up everything to serve Him. He is the treasure in the field. It's all about Jesus. This widow, just like the man who bought the field, gave it all and in return received the best treasure possible. So it is all about Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." What we give to God will never be stolen from us. Sometimes it is our time that we give. Sometimes it's our money. When we come to Jesus, we give everything, and that allows us to see what we will have in what we'll have in our life to live for Him. Yet in all of this, So what happens is we give our life to Him. He has us use whatever we have to serve Him. And yet, sometimes in a moment, He'll ask us for something and we just freely give it to Him because it's all His to begin with. I can't help think of the rich young ruler. And we read about this in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 23. "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich." So again, this illustration uses money, and money is very applicable because it is through money that we understand that we need to give. The rich young ruler was ruled by money, and because money had such a hold on him, he couldn't break away from that to serve God and to serve God alone. So the Lord Jesus knew what this man needed. And he doesn't ask all of us to give all our money all the time, but that's what this man needed because money had that hold on him. So is your life fully surrendered to Jesus? Is there anything else that has a hold on you? Matthew 6, 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. So we can't serve money and serve God at the same time. We can't serve anything else but Jesus. If the goals of our lives are taking us away from Jesus, we need to reassess those goals. If the way we have lived our lives and spent our time, our money, takes us further from God, then we need to turn away from those and turn back to God. It's a time for us to consider, where are we in this life? So where do we find all these nuggets of truth to live by? We find it by His inspired word. It's in the Bible. That's where we find all the nuggets of truth. This is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Read it, digest it, memorize it. In the middle of June, Brian Engber spoke to us about reading and studying the Word. When I see the man taking the treasure out of the field that he bought, I see that there would be all these nuggets of truth in that box. These nuggets of truth are found in here, in God's Word. This is why we devour this book. There's always something to be found. And just this week, I was reading in the book of Habakkuk. And if you're reading the Bible regularly and reading all of the Bible, you're getting the whole counsel of God. So I was just reading in Habakkuk, and it talked about how the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. How encouraging. You know, I look at all the crowds of people, especially this week when I was at Stampede multiple times, and there's so many people, and many of them don't know Jesus. I mean, I really don't know who does and who doesn't, but I know that many don't. And I'm looking at these crowds of people and saying, how can we reach all these people? You know, we do evangelistic outreaches, and we get some people to accept Jesus into their lives, and it's always exciting, but it just pales in comparison to the huge crowds that I see out there. And that's just here, locally. Just think of the whole world and all the people that, well, it's not up to me to reach people for Jesus. It's up to me to do my part in reaching people for Jesus, but I can't reach the whole world for Christ, and neither can one person do that. But it's just encouraging that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the whole earth. So that's just reading this week in a minor prophet, which is, for a lot of us, an obscure part of the Bible, but this book can really encourage you. This book can show you how to live. I can testify what a great treasure living for God is. Nothing else compares. Many times we go through circumstances that are so difficult. I go through circumstances that are really difficult. But I sense the sweet presence of God in a very real, tangible way at the same time. No drug on earth can give that quiet feeling of pleasure that is the presence of God. Everything else is a counterfeit and lets us down. You get high for a while and then you crash. And for many, the second high isn't as good as the first. All of this is a counterfeit and it destroys people. It destroys lives. But the presence of God is so much better. This is truly the treasure that is worth seeking. Perhaps you're listening to me today and you've never given your life to Jesus. And it might be someone here. I mean, we can go to church all our lives and never accept Jesus into our lives. Or it might be somebody that's watching online, either live now or later. And you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Him. There could be a struggle going on inside of you. And I know what that struggle was like before I accepted Jesus when I was 18 years old. And you have thoughts flashing through your mind that this isn't real, or maybe you have thoughts that you won't have any fun anymore. Deep down, you know that God is real, yet there is a struggle going on inside of you. Those thoughts, those voices inside your head are lying to you and trying to keep you away from God. So don't allow those voices to lie. When I talk about giving everything up, it seems like a bit much. On the outside, it might seem like that, yet when you give up everything, the treasure in the field is so much greater than what you give up. There aren't many ways to God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to God. And the only way that you'll ever have that true joy, that freedom in your heart, is if you give your life to Him. So don't believe those lies that might flash through your mind. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that we may have life, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So why don't most people experience this abundant life? It's because of the first part of the verse that says a thief, mentioned in this verse, that he comes to kill and destroy. Well, don't allow him to do that to your life. Really, Jesus wants everybody on this earth to come to know him. And he has a heart of love for you. What is separating you from God? Well, Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us, "But your iniquities have separated you from God, and our sins have hidden his face from you." And in Romans 3:23, we are told we have all sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we try all kinds of ways to reach God, and we do that through good works, through religion, through philosophy, yet none of these measure up. Not even religion. We can go through ceremonies trying to appease God, but we need to give our lives to him. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. There's only one truth. Really, if we go to the top of this building and we jump down, the law of gravity will have us fall to the earth. There's no, "Oh, for me, gravity doesn't exist," or "For you, it does." No, it exists for everybody. And the same thing applies to laws that God has as far as accepting him. And so God's love for you is so real. On the flip side, Satan hates you and wants to destroy you. He'll do anything to trip you up so that you reject God. The struggle is real. You do not have to spend your existence forever and ever surrounded by hate, and that's what it would be like if you don't have Jesus. The rest of your existence would be surrounded by hate and torment and ugliness. You don't have to spend eternity that way, but you can spend eternity in an atmosphere that's with the incomprehensible love that God has for you. It's a love far greater than anything else. Jesus died and paid the penalty for you. This treasure is so precious that around the world, in very dangerous countries, people are literally giving up everything to serve Jesus, knowing that the treasure that they find in Jesus outweighs everything. In many places like North Korea or Iran, people are giving up their lives to embrace Jesus. Jesus gave up his life for us. He was the only one that could die for us and take away our sins. He died on the cross an excruciating death so that you wouldn't have to die. The treasure that you will have in Jesus is truly worth giving up everything for. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So all you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. And maybe you've been serving Christ, but you've kind of drifted away. And so the same applies to you. You just admit that you've gone away from God. And you admit that you're a sinner. But believe, then you need to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And then you need to confess and do that through prayer, inviting Jesus to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. So for anybody that wants to rededicate their lives to Jesus, you've been drifting away, or for anyone who you've never accepted Jesus, whether you're online or whether you're here, I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I just want you to repeat that prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again, and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you've dedicated your life to Jesus, then I want you to tell somebody. So if you're watching online and there's no one with you, give us a call at the church. Tell somebody, tell a friend of yours. It's important that you confess that you've done this, that you've given your life to Jesus. So make sure you tell someone. I want to invite the worship team to come up, and there'll be opportunity for prayer after we have a final time of worship with the worship team. So God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.